This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Blues NHL Podcast. Actually, it's the early edition, typically done on Monday, but as we celebrated President's Day yesterday, we were closed. So today, being Tuesday, it's game day here in St. Louis. It feels like we haven't had a game in a while, which kind of haven't. One game in about, 5 days, and you start missing your Blues hockey. The only thing I can say is maybe if we had some bumps and bruises and maybe need to get it together with a few days, maybe that'll help. We shall see as the Blues will hit the ice tonight against the San Jose Sharks, who are without their big man Joe Thornton. So we'll see how the Sharks do come into town. But the Blues could sure use a win. Lots going on when it comes to our Blues. And again, the topic of the day is what is really going on, both on and off the ice? I think we as Blues fans look at the team. We see a team that one night looks like it can play with anybody. Then we see a night where the effort just isn't there. We see a night where we get a half an effort. And then you start talking about putting the foot on the gas and blah, blah, blah. You do all this stuff. So I think we as Blues fans are doing a lot of questioning and trying to figure out just what the real problem is. Well, obviously the guys on the show do their best to tell you what they see, what they know. Educated guesses, things of that nature. Interesting part of the show today, which I'm really curious to see, especially how it's received. We had a listener big fan of the show, Rick B, and so I want to thank him and throw a shout out at I believe it's rbet31. He kind of tweeted at us wanting to know our opinion. And it's RIBET31, by the way. Wanted to know our opinion on an article done by a friend of Jamie Rivers and, comrade, I guess you could say, Jeremy Rutherford. I won't call him friend of the show because he's never been on. But there was an article that he wrote, and he writes now for The Athletic, so, you have to be a subscriber to readily see that. He had wrote an article. He did a question and answer segment where he was pretty frank, I guess would be the word to use, in his thoughts on the Blues and what some of the issues may or may not be. When it was brought to my attention, I started checking some Twitter things, did some looking around myself, and thought, okay, I think it might be time for me to subscribe to The Athletic. And I'm glad I did, because once I read what he had responded, it made a lot of sense to some degree, some of the stuff he said. Some of it was right in line with what has been said here on the show. There were a few things that I thought were a little odd, and I thought, you know what, it's time to get Jamie Rivers involved in this. So sent it to Jamie, wanted him to take a look at it, and I know that he'll be with us here shortly, and he'll give you his thoughts on Jeremy's thoughts, but really his own spin on what he sees versus maybe what Jeremy's seeing. And I think after my initial conversation with Jamie, I think you might be surprised that I think he kind of, is right there with Jeremy on a few of these things. Maybe not everything, but pretty close. So we're going to hear from Jamie here in just a few minutes. Of course, we'll have our segments from our good friend Dennis Minner with Live from Minner Arena and Bradley with the St. Louis Game Time Report. Before we get to all this, let's remind you who we are. Check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Many things you can do there. Number one, you can subscribe to the show, which is absolutely free. You'll get a notification on your mobile device each time the show is ready for your listening pleasure. One thing you can do there is listen to the show. So if you're checking out Blues NHL podcast all the time, maybe that's how you're listening to the show. The thing you can do there that could really help us, though, is a lot of you guys are doing your shopping on Amazon. Internet shopping, obviously, is through the roof. If you are shopping at Amazon and you go through bluesnhlpodcast.com, we get a very small referral that helps us with our production costs. You simply click the Amazon banner. Once you do that, you're done with us. You do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anything. We would greatly appreciate your support. We love social media. We love to have fun with the fans. Make sure you check us out on Twitter, at NHL Show, and at STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us. Facebook is our biggest ask, though. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast in the search bar. Like our Facebook page and then click invite your friends. All your friends that are Blues fans, we would encourage you to invite to like our Facebook page as well. Instagram, you can find us, Blues NHL Podcast. Happy to have you guys join us there. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet, and now home to the newest, Yo Radio. Make sure you check it out, the newest internet radio station, Yo Radio. I know you'll love it. It's great stuff. Love listening to it. All types of different types of music, and it's going to house podcasts, everything you guys may want in listening pleasure. Check it out, Yo Radio. Special thanks to Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, both the producers of the Blues NHL podcast. They do so much behind the scenes, and we appreciate them greatly. Want to get into the Jeremy Rutherford article. We're going to have Jamie Rivers with us here in just a minute. Again, it touches on numerous things that you guys are going to hear, many things that have to do with a lot of the tie-ins that we have here at Blues NHL Podcast. And again, you can look at those things, and our friends that bring you the show each week, InnovativeCompanies.com, everything they do, whether it be construction, heating and cooling, their electric company, you know, all the things that require you to be a team. And that's why the Innovative Company team deserves an opportunity for your business. Make sure you check them out at InnovativeCompanies.com. But again, the article is interesting. It's not an article. I keep saying it's an article. It's not. It was a question and answer segment where Jeremy kind of took it to another level and really expanded on his answers. And I understand what he did. He did it because he didn't want people to take what he was saying and make assumptions. He basically took the opportunity to say, listen, this is how I feel. This is what I feel based on what I know. And, you know, some of the stuff are things that you have seen from time to time. But quite frankly, some of it is from a fan's view, too. And that's why I appreciated what he wrote. You know, as a fan, that's what I bring to this show. I'm not an expert on hockey like you might call a Jamie Rivers or a Darren Kimball or even a media guy like Jeremy Rutherford, who's around it every day and has the luxury of knowing things that are going on behind the scenes that some of us just don't know. But I'm a fan. And I know how I feel, and I take very seriously paying attention to how fans are reacting on social media, especially to things we may be involved in or things that the Blues may be doing. When I speak on the show, I don't obviously speak for every fan because it's not realistic to think that every fan feels the same way. That's what makes us fun, right, at the end of the day. But I've been a lifelong Blues fan. I know just enough about hockey to be dangerous, and the reality of it is, you know, I'm going to think how I think. And while I appreciate Jamie and Darren, and again, when they speak, I listen, just like there's lots of people I feel that way about. But there's certain things that just, as a fan, are going to bother me. And there are certain things that are going to bother you. I think Jeremy did a really good job of addressing some of these things and saying, you know, it's time to quit sweeping them under the rug. You know, we really need to look at, you know, what is the problem? Because this, you know, and he even mentions it. I mean, it's year after year after year, it feels like the same thing. So I'm real interested to get Jamie's take on it. And, of course, you can always thank SynergyHockeySkills.com and our friends at NelsonLandServices.com for everything they do to bring Jamie Rivers to the show each and every week. Both of their involvements in the amateur hockey community go without saying. And we also, it's funny, we always do the On the Bench with Butter segment to promote Tommy Brown and his support of the show and everything he does, especially this time of year when it comes to taxes and how you want Coach Butter on your team. But the reality of it is, it's not, and we kind of vary from this, it's not on the bench, it's kind of in the locker room. So we're in the locker room with Butter to see where the problem really lies. So let's go to the man himself right now and hear what he has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Jamie Rivers. What do you say, Mr. Rivers?
Looking forward to a good Tuesday and a busy weekend, so I'm ready to go, buddy.
Yeah, I got a couple things for you today, and first and foremost, I don't know where to start. Let's start with, why would a curler in the Olympics need to take PEDs? I said I think it's because he needed to look good in his official curling shirt.
Well, ordinarily, I'd say that PEDs and curling would be, not drinking light beer and drinking, Bud Heavy out there. I don't know. It was funny because, I read that, and I mean, I think everybody has kind of yucked it up a little bit about this, but now I'm reading that they're talking about sabotage and all this stuff, and somebody puts something in his drink and this, that, the other, and it's like, oh my God, are we really, really, really diving into this whole thing over a curling guy? Like, but I guess, a gold medal is a gold medal, and, if he didn't do it, he didn't do it. If he did do it, then he deserves to take the punishment, because what the hell is a curler, taking some kind of enhancement for?
I'm with you. I would need some Bud Heavy just to do it. But other than the yelling and the screaming and the sweeping, for Christ's sakes. But other than that, no, I thought we got more important fish to fry here today. I thought I'd throw you a curveball with that one, because I know we have some people.
That's good. I like it.
Some people really interested in your thoughts. We have, it seems like the Blues have played one game in X amount of days, and that's because they have, although we're going to get a home game tonight against the Sharks, which I'm sure we're all hoping that the Blues have been able to take a few days off. Maybe if there's some bangs and bang-ups and some bruises, maybe they're healing a little bit. But for the most part, and we got to get this ship going in the right direction consistently. Blues fans, I'm sure, are like wondering which team's going to show up. We have a couple games where we look like we can play with anybody. Then we have a game where, we don't get the effort. We start talking about that word again and stuff like that. But in between all of this comes an article which some people can't read. And I believe it's The Athletic, it's called. It's a subscription-based, article-driven type magazine, I guess you would call, online magazine type thing. Jeremy Rutherford, who used to be the beat writer for the Blues, I believe for the Post-Dispatch, has went over to The Athletic, and he is now the beat writer for the Blues there. He's brought up a few things that I'm not going to say are taboo, but, he went a little open, honest, and heavy on the Blues themselves. And some fans are curious if this is, an opinion, if this is reality. And let's face it, when it comes to opinion or reality, they turn to you, because let's be honest, you've been quite frank. You've been as honest as you can be, and you tell it like it is. So I think some Blues fans would love to know your thoughts on the, and it wasn't necessarily an article, it was a question and answer type thing that he does. And some people asked some questions, and he gave some pretty open, heartfelt answers, I guess would be the description. I don't really know any other way to describe it.
Yeah, Jeremy has been a great writer for a long time, did a lot of work, like he said, for the Post-Dispatch. And the situation now is he probably has to be, a little more, probably not open and honest, because he's always been very open and honest, but he's probably got to take both sides of every argument and get it out there so fans can, evaluate things for themselves. But yeah, this is a tough time for the Blues and their fans, because, we've been on the cusp of something for so long, or at least we believe we have been. And Jeremy answered some questions that fans have been wondering for a long time. So, I think that he did a good job in answering them. It's his opinion, and I'm sure it's fact-based at times. But, I know we're going to get into it here, and I'm going to give you what I think are answers that he put in there that I believe are true, or that I think he's got some traction on. So, without further ado, why don't we tackle some of those?
Well, first and foremost, the whole thing was driven by his, I'm not even going to say his belief, but his notion that, would missing the playoffs be better for the Blues than making the playoffs? He basically, in not so many words, says he's not real sure if they miss the playoffs by 3 points, it'll matter. The word that he used is, he says, call me fatigued on the end of season post-mortem interviews. Every May I see a despondent group of players, and every October, April, I see the same group making the same mistakes and excuses. Well, he doesn't name names, but when you say group, you're basically calling in a core group that we have seen together now for this little run here. So you can deduct who that is. and go from there. Your thoughts on whether or not they're despondent, this group of players?
Well, I don't know if they're despondent, but I think it's kind of it's like we talked about last week, I believe, was I think that they have just a lot of the guys in the room that are of the same personality. And it doesn't mean that it's a bad personality. It just means there's too much of the same. And, you know, I think that there sometimes needs to be some guys with personality that are kind of all over the map to make a team successful. And that way there you get the guys that are maybe not of the same opinion as a certain two or three leaders, but there's two or three other leaders that feel that things should be a different way. And so they voice their opinion, or they call guys out, or they go out and do something different. And, you know, like we talked about on the show, it's very, they have a great group of guys, but I think that they're just too much all the same. And I don't mean in a bad way. It's just kind of who they are. And I think maybe somebody, like we talked about, Braden Schenn, like out of character, did that, you know, fought 3 seconds into the game. Well, we need, I think, a little more out of character kind of guys maybe in that locker room to help push them over that threshold.
You know, he kind of, he takes that to the next level as he addresses the second part of the reader's question. And this is where he starts getting a little harsher in trying to address what he's trying to say. And this is in his words. Listen, the Blues obviously have talented players and they have good people in the locker room, which is kind of what you've said. I did have some people tweet at me privately over the weekend, has Jeremy been listening to your guys' show and wrote his article? I thought that was kind of funny because I'm sure Jeremy is not listening and does his own thing. But he goes on to say, but I think they have a roster that has too many players who just brush everything off. Nothing is ever a major deal in their eyes. Yeah, they might get mad at times, but there's always another game tomorrow and always a chance to fix things. And while I understand that, it's a long season. You're not going to play well every night. You know, he just says, I believe if they had more players who got pissed off in the moment, like let's turn this game around now, let's not wait for next game, they'd have a better record.
Well, yeah, he's not wrong. And like he said, it really does kind of echo what we talked about last week. And I'll tell you what, JR, I believe, does listen to our show. I mean, who doesn't? But JR does listen to our show. You know, so maybe he did tune in and, you know, kind of use some of that as well as his own thoughts, for sure. Maybe he didn't. But like, at the end of the day, it's the same thing that we're discussing here, is they need something different. And whether that be somebody who's currently there changing the way they do things, if it's somebody that's currently there that decides to open up a little more and do something different, step outside the box, or if it means that, you know, some big changes have to be made, then maybe that's coming too. I don't know. I do know that this is starting to become a bit of a trend where it's, or people from the media and outsiders and onlookers and all this stuff are starting to say some of the same things, which tells me that maybe some of it is true at that point. And I think that you got to start looking at that internally and realize, well, if everybody is saying this, we can't be that foolish, or we can't be that blind that we don't see some of this. And you know what, Chromes, maybe they do. And like I talked about last week, and Kimby and I, we went back and forth with different scenarios and all this stuff. And I know what JR was saying about missing the playoffs. Would it matter? You know, well, that's one of the scenarios we discussed. It was, you know, maybe they shouldn't do anything. Maybe this isn't the team to make the run. Maybe it would be better to not make a huge deadline deal, keep our draft picks, and build the team up from what we have in the cupboard and what we have potentially coming in. And you know, maybe that is the best idea, to change the culture. You know, some of these things, it's very, they're true. I don't think that's wrong. I think that it's bang on. Now, however, they do have some talented guys that are what I would call, you know, the prime of their career, that you don't want to just waste that. However, I think that you have to be very careful. So, you know, Jeremy Rutherford is doing a good job of bringing it to the people with some of that.
You know, it's funny when you when you look at this and you have a conversation with somebody about it, a lot of times you can take what a guy like Jeremy would say, or even yourself or anybody that, let's face it, you're educated, you know more than the average person, even though you may not let it on at times, just because of who you know and what you're around on a consistent basis. You take all of this, and then I take this last sentence as part of his answer to this question, and it reminds me of when Doug Armstrong was being a little bit critical of his own team, and he called some of them independent contractors. And it's this last sentence: I'm not saying these guys don't like playing together, but they don't pull together. Now, that's a big thing for a guy. Like, if anybody's ever listened to you talk and about what it takes to really win, especially in the playoffs, that's a big sentence that he kind of finishes with there. If they don't want to pull together as a group, I that's going to be a tough thing to overcome, I'd have to believe.
Yeah, that is a huge problem. Let me tell you this. And people always think, oh, my gosh, these championship teams over the years, and, oh, they must have been best friends. And all that. Not true. Some of the best teams I played on, half the guys couldn't stand each other. I'm not kidding you. It's crazy as it may be, but it's just like anything in life, right? Like, you go to school, you don't get along with everybody. You have a job, you don't get along with everybody. Well, look, you're in a hockey club, and you're brought in from all over the world, different guys. You're not always going to get along, but at the end of the day, you all have to have the same goal, which is to win it all. And that's when you have to park any differences at the door, walk in, and pull together, like you're talking about. Like, it doesn't matter if the guy that is right beside you in the trenches, that you will never go to lunch or dinner with this guy. It doesn't matter at that point. What matters is you guys have to win this game. You have to find a way to pull together and win hockey games, win championships, and play well. So, and I'm not insinuating even for a second that the Blues players don't get along. In fact, Jeremy talks about they get along with, they all love, or they like playing together. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you have to have guys that hate each other. I'm not saying you have to have guys that love each other. What I'm saying is, just like JR mentioned, you got to get a group of guys that just want to win together, I guess is a better way to put it. So putting guys that just like each other, or you get guys that may not like each other, it doesn't matter. If everybody is not of the same personality or of the same chemical makeup to want to just go out there and win together, then yeah, you've got a problem, because you're relying upon probably a huge percentage of those guys to win you hockey games. They're not going to be traditionally not going to be the guys who get 5, 6, 7 minutes a game. They're going to be guys who eat up big chunks of ice every night. So, it's important. You have to want to win together to actually win.
You know, he gets real as he goes further here, and you're going to bear with me, because I want to read this whole part here, because he starts mentioning players' names, and while he's talking about the player, he's really talking about the group and their part in this. So, and he addresses, this is the part of my answer where I'm going to try to keep it as real as possible. I think some players resent that Vladimir Tarasenko doesn't work as hard as he should. I think some players who think that about Tarasenko aren't working as hard as they should. I don't think the leaders are doing a good enough job of taking the different personalities in the locker room and making everybody feel like one. Is Dmitry Yastin a bit of a loner? Yeah. Have the Blues tried to make him feel like them? Maybe more than I know, but it hasn't been enough. No, not just with Yastin, but others too, whether it's been this year or in the past. That translates on the ice. Guys are just playing hockey, many of them not playing for each other. And I haven't even mentioned the guys who are just playing for the paycheck or the lifestyle, which in this case, I'm not going to name names, but they know who they are. That's about as serious a few sentences as you're going to get from a guy that, to be quite frank, after he wrote this, has got to spend a little time in that locker room. So this is the big one here. How do you think this goes?
Well, the only part that I really don't like in this at all is him talking about the guys playing for the paycheck or the lifestyle. Because let's be honest, Jeremy Rutherford doesn't know shit about what it takes to get to where these guys have gotten. He doesn't have a fucking clue at all about what it takes and the blood, sweat, and tears and the freaking leaving home at an early age and taking a bunch of abuse and freaking going through hell to get to the National Hockey League. So he should just take that comment and stick it somewhere. That's the truth. Now, are some guys not playing hard enough? Are they not giving enough now that they are there and whatnot? He's not wrong there. So, let's set the table here just so everybody knows. I'm not just going to sit here and pat Jeremy Rutherford on the back all day long, because that comment there, to me, doesn't sit well. Guys do have a lifestyle. They do enjoy the paychecks and this and that. And some guys maybe don't earn what they should be or what they're making, but they still have done enough to get to the top level. So Jeremy needs to just keep his nose out of that one. Now, getting back to the other stuff, it is difficult, but it's not everybody's job and leadership to make sure everybody in the group feels like they're part of it. It's up to that individual too. Like everybody, like I just talked about, everybody has to buy in. They have to bring what they can to the table as well. So yes, there's leadership that has to step up and try to make sure that the group is responding well and this and that. But each individual has a certain leadership role themselves, and you bring that to the table, and it's up to you to integrate yourself, to make yourself part of the team just as much as it is the other way around for the team to let you integrate or bring you into the mix and all this stuff. So there's a responsibility that lies on everybody's shoulders when it comes to that. And then as far as the Tarasenko thing, I bet there is some resentment. I'm sure there is. I mean, it's always been that way. It's very difficult when you have a dynamic player who is, quote unquote, a franchise player, all this kind of stuff. It's very difficult when you have one of those guys on your team, and let's say they're not performing as well as they should be, and then they're cutting corners. And we've always talked about this kind of crap, Crones, is, oh, well, it's okay when they're winning because nobody gives a shit that he's doing this when he's putting 3-4 goals in the net or putting up 90 or 100 points a season. Nobody cares because he's getting a lot of stuff done out there. He's winning hockey games. But when you're not consistently winning, what happens? It goes under the microscope. And now it gets, inflated into this, guys aren't happy with this. I don't blame them. I don't. He starts out the season this year. We talked about all the praise in the world for playing at both ends of the ice and looking like he's into it. He's intense. But let's not forget, it takes a lot of, let's say, physical endurance and mental endurance to get through a season and play every single night the best you can and the hardest you can. It's very difficult. Should he be playing harder all the time? Yes. Can we see that he plays every single game the same way? Probably not. And he's not wrong also, Jeremy's not wrong also in saying that some guys who are sitting back critiquing this maybe aren't giving, the most of themselves either. And that's a natural progression sometimes when guys are frustrated with one individual. Well, they'll act like, well, what the heck, Yeah, he doesn't do this or he doesn't take this seriously, so what do I care? Screw this. And that's when, and I'm not saying it's happening right now because I really don't have enough real information to go stating that there's a culture problem in that locker room. But if there is and Jeremy's onto something and if this doesn't get solved or rectified in some way, then this is going to be a major problem. And the Blues are either going to have to blow up the entire team and make a bunch of moves or just be like they are right now and kind of that roller coaster ride of two wins, one loss, one win, two losses, that whole world that has everybody frustrated. So I guess time will tell, and maybe this article will shake the trees a little bit and find out what's going on, but those are just my thoughts on those things so far.
Well, and what's interesting is that you basically just kind of jumped right ahead to the end, and that is, he kind of finishes with, I truly believe that whether the Blues make the playoffs or not, Armstrong is going to have to address the attitude of this team. If I know it's a problem, he has to know. it will be hard to change the culture. You know, and then he does at least go on to say that he understands it's not that easy because of the way the NHL is with contracts. He says it'll be hard to change the culture because it's hard to move contracts, but he thinks it's necessary. I don't believe the team's problems can be found in analyzing a bad goal, bad loss, bad homestand. I believe they're tied to the fact that it's a group of players who are passing the puck to each other because they were either drafted or signed contracts to play for the Blues, and they happen to be wearing the same crest on the sweater. Not because they're going to the front of the net, take a slash to the leg, absorb the pain and score a goal, because that's what you do for your teammates, your coach, and your fans. When you show me that's how much these guys care, then I'll show you a team that doesn't poop its pants on the ice and then repeat the same BS to reporters game after game after game. And then, you know, then he says, does that answer your question? Does that answer your question, Jamie?
Yeah, well, once again, look, at I don't think he's 100% wrong on that, but I am going to take the stance again that Jeremy Rutherford has never went to the front of the net, has never taken a slash in the back of the legs, I've never taken a puck to the face, he's never taken a punch between the eyes, he's never done any of that stuff. So he really can't speak to the fact of, you know, what it takes to win a hockey game. He can tell you what he thinks takes to win a hockey game, he can tell you what he's seen that wins hockey game, but he can't tell you exactly, you know, what it takes. And I'm not trying to be hard on JR, because not every reporter has ever played the sport that they report on. You know, I get it. I guess it's still difficult for me because there is a player inside me here as well. And I know some of the crap that guys have to go through. And it doesn't mean that we give them a pass. So if JR is listening or anybody reports back to him, I'm not saying we give players a pass. I'm not saying JR is a bad guy. I love the guy. We're friends. But I'm just saying that right now, he's right about the culture stuff. He's right about the leadership stuff. He's right about having to change some pieces of the puzzle. But, you know, to generalize it and kind of throw a blanket over a huge group of the team, I don't know if that's fair either.
Well, it's an interesting article. It makes people think. And you know, I guess it, to me, as a, you know, and again, and I want to thank the listeners. We got a lot of feedback from the last show, and I think people really enjoyed the fan portion of me giving you guys some thoughts of how fans are feeling, and then you guys coming back with, well, let me explain to you maybe why you feel that way and maybe some things you don't understand. So the fan side of me as I read this, it almost comes from a place of, you know, we've tried to make so many excuses.
Guess. It's Steen's fault.
No.
Right? Let me guess. Steen's fault, Jimmy.
No. No.
Right.
But the thing is, I think as a fan, what we see is what? I mentioned it earlier. We see this team play so well and then go out and it's like to his article, and I do understand that it's not that easy, and some of that is just being around you guys a lot for the last 2 years and learning things and knowing things, but you just wonder how a team can play so well and then go out and look, to be quite frank, somewhat disinterested. And now I know that's not the case. Maybe the game dictates that it looks disinterested, but boring sometimes is the word I use, and that's sad to some degree, because I love hockey, but when I watch a game and I think, man, that was boring, I find that, but then I watch a game like against Colorado, and then they go in and play really well for 45 minutes against Nashville and stuff like that. It's just, I think that's where some of this comes from. So while Jeremy's a writer, I think he's almost a little bit a fan in this too, in his writing. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's how I read it.
Well, I think Jeremy's a pro, okay? He's always been a pro with his writing, with his everything he's done. And I love the guy. We have a great relationship. I'm not lying to you. He probably, I don't want to say he's a fan, because that'll make him sound like he's unprofessional. But I think you'd have to be probably a little squirrely not to think that over the years of covering one team and living in that city and, you know, living and breathing Blues hockey for as many years as he has, there's no way he's not a fan as well. There's no way that he doesn't have some frustration as well. And I'm sure all reporters here in St. Louis would love to write articles about how much the Blues are winning, how great they are, and how many Stanley Cups they're continuing to win. that's probably a reporter's dream. So, yeah, I think that, you know what, as much as he doesn't want to probably be acknowledged as a fan because he is a pro writer, I think that by default he's probably pretty attached to the Blue Note, and I'm sure wants them to do really well. So, yeah, you know, he's probably attacking some of these issues from a little bit of a different perspective. And let's be honest, he's been around the team for a really long time. So he's seen several different personalities come in and out of that dressing room. He's seen several different leadership groups in that locker room, and ones that were successful to a certain degree, ones that were unsuccessful. But at the end of the day, he's never, and nobody's ever been able to see a group that's done it all and brought home a cup and the parade down Market Street and all that stuff. So, you know what? He has the right to his opinion on it. He's probably bang on a lot of this stuff. You know, when you don't win a cup ever and you've had as many great players as the Blues have had and as many great teams, then you start to wonder, like, is this the group? And right now, as it sits currently, and I haven't lied about this, you know, I said it on the show. I don't think this is the group that wins the Stanley Cup right now. I don't. Now, that doesn't mean they can't become the group that wins one. But as it sits right now today, if I had all of my life savings to put on a bet, do they win the cup or not? Just simple. I put my money on they don't win it. So they have to do something, is what I'm saying.
Well, and on that note, I'll leave with the, or I'll finish with this, because fans are, especially this time of year, are always wondering what you know. It's always what you know and what you don't know, and we all know you know a whole lot more than you don't know. So, let's say this.
Never know.
Well, the hot stove, as you know, we like to do our innovated heating and cooling, and it's hot right now because we're coming up against the trade deadline, of course. The two names associated most with the Blues, hands down, the ones that won't go away are Hoffman and Maroon. Now, Doug Armstrong has come out and said, and we know there's a lot of time it's GM speak and things like that, but he's basically come out and said the price is really high. And he even went as far as to say, I'm not quite sure we're a player away. So, you know, and again, he could be posturing, which I'm sure he is to some degree. Now, I will say this. The players that again, not that you're speaking for Doug Armstrong, but players you have mentioned, players that we have seen in, and what's funny is players that we have seen in articles, which again sounds like people are listening to you talk on the show and then reporting, but the players that are mentioned going the other way in deals for like a Hoffman and a Maroon. Now, while Maroon is a 2 month rental, basically, I think both those deals are for the future because I think we kind of get a little bit better by subtraction. And then I think if you trade for Pat Maroon, aren't you kind of hoping that he is the kind of guy you would target in the offseason to add what you're missing from this team anyway? So while I think those are win-wins for the Blues because they're not only for this year, they would really be for the future as well. So again, I guess what I'm asking you is anything – are you hearing anything that you can share? And I know there's stuff you can share, things you can't. And B, your thoughts on those two moves not just being for this year?
Yeah, you know, look, I think we're all hearing a lot of the same things right now. You know, in looking at articles written by people around the city, by people in other cities and people in the hockey world, you know, the Hoffman thing just doesn't seem to want to go away. However, I will say this, and being from Ottawa as my hometown, I certainly have a lot of people I know there. It's looking like maybe Pierre Dorion is not going to deal him now. He's talked about chemistry that he's had lately with Matt Duchene and how great they're playing, and his production has increased, and he still has two more years on his contract. So it's not like he has to get rid of this guy, and he's not a huge cap hit right now for Ottawa. So, you know, is the Hoffman deal dead? I don't know. But Ottawa's pretty damn pleased with him right now. And if that's the case, I guess my point is you're going to have to probably throw something major in a deal for them to change their mind. And the other side of that is maybe Dorion is doing a little bit of gamesmanship himself here too and saying, you know, well, we're not really interested. And now that he has a few teams that are on the hook, nibbling at the hook anyways, they might think, oh my gosh, we got to really bring a huge deal now to pull him away because they don't really even want to trade him. So there's gamesmanship that's going on all over the place between these GMs. And Doug Armstrong is no different than Pierre Dorion as the general manager in Ottawa. Right now, they're all gonna say a lot in the papers, but really say nothing at the same time. You know, they're I don't want to say they're politicians at this time of year, but you know, they're really smart at making sure that what they want to get out gets out, and very, very disciplined in making sure that they don't say something they should. You know, so Hoffman, yeah, that's a name that is linked to the Blues. The Brassard name as well, Derek Brassard from Ottawa, has been linked to the Blues recently. I don't know how much truth there is to that.
That seems more of the rental, right? I mean, he's not
No,
signed.
He's got another year on
his
deal. Both of those players would have term left, so you'd be getting, you know, you'd be getting something back in return that you're not just getting rid of. It's not the rental. The only rental scenario, and then even put an asterisk next to it, is the Pat Maroon possibility. And why I say there's an asterisk is because I really do believe that if he did get traded to a team like the Blues, that they would probably almost negotiate, you know, right away as the season's over to try to get him back here for, you know, two more years or something like that. And, you know, again, the word out of Edmonton is, and Peter Chiarelli, their general manager, doing a lot of the same stuff with his, you know, with the way he's talking, is they're like, well, we're currently in negotiations to maybe sign him to an extension. So once again, Edmonton saying, well, we don't want to get rid of him. We're not just going to give him away. And so now that's like trying to suck out more from other teams who really are interested or who have been interested. And they know they're nibbling at the hook, as I like to say. And now, you know, they're like, well, we want a little more and see if the fish that they can reel in is bigger than the one that's currently on their line. So we'll see. It's interesting. Of course, I'd like to see any of those three players in a blue note come, you know, the day after deadline. But it's going to take a lot right now. And there's, you got to remember, too, it's not just the Blues who are interested in those players. It's a bunch of teams that, you know, it seems like the same names come up with the number one contending teams around the league. And those names keep popping up with those teams as well. So it's going to be a really tough deadline. I'll tell you what, we're either going to see a massive splash of deals or we're going to see like next to nothing. And I know that's, but it's just the way it is. I think that there's going to be a domino effect. If you see one team, you know, take a bunch of resources and a bunch of their players and make a massive deal, other teams are going to feel like, oh my God, we have to do the same, or we're not going to be able to compete. We have to get this player to counter this, or we better get in on this now before this player's gone. And so it kind of has this chain reaction around the league. And then other times when you have teams that sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait, well, guess what? The deadline comes and goes and nobody's really done anything. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I'll tell you what, I'll be very glued to the TV and to the internet on deadline day.
Yeah, it's going to be something. Like I said, it could go a variety of ways here. I mean, however many games we got between now and then, I don't know if things change based on how they do. And I mean, I guess you would have to assume that it may. I've said this 100 times over. To me as a fan, and I'm okay with this, I think GMs sometimes look at the team and say, hey, if you want me to make some moves, you better show me that you're worthy of me mortgaging a little bit of our future for the now. And I think that's always a challenge to some degree. That's what a GM does. You know it. You've done it. I mean, you've done the role. You're managing the now. You're managing the future. You're managing the team. You're managing the fans and the opinion of the team. It's not an easy gig, and you know, second guessing is the easiest thing to do when it comes to what you're going to do, I guess.
Yeah, you know what, the statement that you just made about, you know, GMs challenging the team to play better in order to make him change the team or make a trade. You're right. It is. I mean, what kind of a GM would just want to, you know, just to sell the farm with a team that was a sinking ship? Nobody wants to do that. You know, that's like adding brand new furniture to the sinking ship as it's going down. Like, what the hell are you doing that for? You know, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, Lou Lamoriello is a guy that comes to mind in Toronto, and he basically told the Maple Leafs, whether he told them in person or told them through the media, because he's got such media attention up there, he basically said, this team will dictate whether or not we're active or not at the deadline. And since that comment, and I don't think it's anything to do with what he said, but it's funny that since that comment, they've gone on a tear and have been playing really, really well. And now, you know, the Maple Leafs look like they'll probably be buyers at the deadline. So it's funny how it works, but yeah. Interesting.
You know, I've said it 100 times over. It just feels like we're missing something. You guys have alluded to it much more eloquently than I. I mean, again, it's what you see, both behind the scenes, you know, on the ice. You've been there, you've done it. I don't know what that missing piece is. I don't know that it's one piece, and I think that would be the hardest thing for a GM is if you know in your heart that it's more than just one thing. You know, what do? You got the fans crying for change, but are they crying for the right kind of change? And I put myself in that category sometimes. Do I want change for the sake of change, or do I want them to do what's best for the franchise? It's always a tough thing. Not an easy gig, and that's why I guess there's only how many NHL GMs out there, and it's a tough gig to get. It's even a tougher gig to keep.
Yeah, it is. It is a tough gig to keep, and the modern-day NHL makes it very difficult. GMs used to have an easier time depending on their financial ability of their club. And you could sell the farm at the deadline. You could, you know, bring in everybody and didn't matter where your salary was at because there was no cap. So, but nowadays there is so much more that goes into it that it is a very difficult job. And with the way the NHL is, with the young players that are evolving as quick as they are, and with draft picks and prospects so valuable for your future, it's difficult to make that decision of just emptying your closets to try and do something that you may not be ready to do as a team. You may not be ready to win a cup. So there's a lot of thought that goes into it. That's why these guys surround themselves with usually great assistant GMs, scouts, director of hockey operations. All these people will have opinions when it comes down to go time here at the deadline.
Well, one thing's for sure. We're knee-deep in it, and this thing could go a variety of ways. I do think there's enough talent for us to compete. But, you know, again, we're going to see what happens because at the end of the day, you got to put it all together and, you know, who knows? Maybe adding a piece sparks something here. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But, you know, I'm glad you answered the questions because for a fan, you know, they're a little concerning. Anytime somebody that's around the team and again, I think this is where my concern as a fan is, here's a guy that has to go in the locker room and face these guys. If he's willing to stick it out there and say this stuff, I can't see him doing it for effect. I mean, again, to your point, there are some things I think he puts in the article that notably is tough for him to write because I don't know that not playing the game he understands that. But when you start talking about general thoughts and attitudes from one player to about another, a lot of times there's smoke, there's fire on that, especially a guy that's got to face him because that makes no sense for him. If you're a guy that doesn't have to face him, you can say that stuff all day long. But if you're a guy that's got to go in that locker room, there's got to be a little something to that.
Yeah, there is. It is. There's a relationship there, whether it's a great relationship or a horrible relationship with these players, it doesn't matter. You have to go in there day after day after day. And, you know, we've seen on many occasions where beat reporters or TV people or whoever are really not welcome in the room. You know, they're welcome because they're allowed to be there as their job, but the players aren't thrilled that they're in there. The players aren't going to give them more than they need to for quotes or facts. And some players will almost downright, you know, not say anything worth of any value at all or very little and just stare at the guy until he leaves. So Yeah, it's an uncomfortable position to put yourself in if you're Jeremy Rutherford, but he should be commended for that because, you know, if that's the way he feels and that's what he's reporting, then, you know, he's going to have to stick by it, and he's being true to himself. He's being true to his readers, and may not be popular with everybody in that locker room, but at least he's being real.
Well, and I've heard, and people have heard you and Darren mention numerous times on the show, it's one thing for a guy to say things, to write things from the comfort of his desk and never go down to Scott Trade. That's not the case with Jeremy. He'll be there. So I'm sure there's a, while it won't be a happy situation, there's at least that respect there, I know, from you guys as former players, that he's willing to walk in there and say, yeah, I wrote it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you got to give the guy some points for being stand-up like that. And I know JR will be in that locker room. I know he'll continue to do his job. And it is what it is. Why don't the players just go prove him wrong?
Well,
it's usually the best way to do it.
Well, we'll see. Lots happening. We get a game tonight, finally, after one game in, what, 5 days or something like that. So we get a game tonight. How do you see tonight going before you go?
Well, look, at the NHL right now, it's like, it's crazy how competitive it is. And we've seen in the last couple of days, the Blues have dropped, you know, right out of their division to a wild card. And now everybody's nipping at their heels, and it's crazy. San Jose is tied with them in points. And so, you know, they're missing Joe Thornton, who's obviously a huge part of that team, but they've done a great job of continuing to battle without him. They're a very difficult team to play against. They have some really good players. They got good goaltending, great coaching. This is going to be a hell of a game. I mean, every game right now for the rest of the season is going to be a hell of a game. But these games here where you're right in the thick of things with some of these teams and with other teams who have games in hand on you that are nipping at your heels in the playoffs, like, the intensity doesn't get any greater, I guess is what I'm trying to say, than right now. And if the Blues, or any team for that matter, can't rise above and dig deep, then, you know, never mind playoffs. If they can't do it now where you're trying to get into the playoffs, then it's going to be a tough go for everybody.
Well, I know the fans appreciate you coming on and giving your thoughts on the early edition of Blues NHL podcast. We're going to hear from you and Darren on Thursday. Again, it's each day is another day closer to the trade deadline and possibly some movement. Last but not least, of course, your appearances here on Blues NHL podcast are always brought to you by the big players in the amateur hockey community. Of course, our friends, the Nelson family with NelsonLandServices.com, as they just ask everybody to at least give them an opportunity for their business. Check them out at NelsonLandServices.com. Tremendous landscaping, professionally done, 5-star rated, reasonable prices. And again, lots of people in the area have seen a lot of their handiwork down at the Ozarks, at some of those beautiful homes, and they've moved their business to start growing into this St. Louis area, as they spend so much time here around guys like yourself and Kimball. They are so embedded in that amateur hockey community. We're asking for you to support them, and of course, for yourself, as we just noticed, it looks like you're wrapping up, or you did just wrap up your youth season here, and it's time to get better with SynergyHockeySkills.com.
Yeah, you know, it's a busy time of year. It's crazy to say that because hockey seasons are ending and it seems like things are getting busy. But, yeah, we had this last weekend was the Tier 1 Hockey League, AAA League championships. And the Blues had U14, U15, U16, and U18 teams that went to represent St. Louis, and the U18 and U16 AAA teams went 3-1 on the weekend and real good. The U14s, which is my team with Jeff Brown and other guys, Lubos Bartechko, we coached the team. We got to the final, went 4-0, got to the final, and ended up losing in the final, which was a tough one, but the kids it's unbelievable the run they put together this last weekend. It's been a good year for them, playing really well. And then the U15 team up there won it all. So it was awesome. You know, they played right after our game, and it sucked that we had lost. But they went right out and won it overtime to win their league. So, you know, the teams in St. Louis making a lot of noise still around the country, and certainly hopefully making everybody proud here locally. So now that the seasons are over, we do have some nationals coming up. as we'll have teams that qualify for that. And after that, it's summer skills time. So we got lots of camps coming up in the St. Louis area for Synergy Hockey Skills. Get on the website, synergyhockeyskills.com. I'm telling you, you got to sign up quickly. It's great that camps are going quickly and we're filling up. So get out there and click on one of the camps you like and get your kid out there. And hopefully one of these days soon, we have some more kids that are competing at the tier one level or any other level competing and having a great time playing hockey.
I know last before you go, we had some listeners kind of ask, have you worked with any of the girls on the U.S. Olympic hockey team right now? They seem to be a hot story right now.
No, I actually haven't worked with any of the current Olympians. You know, we've worked with some fantastic girls that have come out of this area. We have Abby Stanley, who's at Boston University. We've got Jincy Dunn at Ohio State University. We've had Katie Matheny that was at Ohio State. She's graduated now. We have McKenna Webster, a local girl that we do some work with, and she's 15 years old and just competed in the U18 World Championships not too long ago and made the first team All-Star, and they won the gold medal, and she played a huge part in it. So, you know, there are lots of really, really good girl hockey players in the area. We have a bunch of young girls that are committing to colleges and universities, so it's awesome. You know, we talk about the boys a lot, but the girls are doing an unbelievable job of playing hockey in this area, and there are lots of girls coming out of St. Louis to do really great things at the college level and beyond.
Yeah, I just then that's kind of why I brought it up. You've had some tremendous talent roll through your program, and you've been fortunate enough to work with some of these great draft picks and kids that are making their mark in the NHL. But I want our listeners to never forget about the girls. This is not just a boys thing. You've worked with a ton of talented female athletes, and if you're a female hockey player out there and you want to be the best you can be, Synergy Hockey Skills is definitely something for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said before, Chromes, we try to cater to everybody in the community that wants to play hockey and wants to just get better. But yeah, you know, hockey is for everyone, as we're seeing that the NHL promoting that stuff, and Synergy Hockey is absolutely no different. Our Synergy Hockey is for everyone too. So we enjoy having everybody take the ice, and we're all out there for the same reason, which is to enjoy hockey and try to get better.
All right, my friend, you get going. I'm sure you got this is probably one check mark off your to-do list that's about a mile long for today. So why don't you get going with what you got to do, and I will see you in studio on Thursday. And who knows, maybe we'll have a move, or maybe we're a little closer to a move. You never know what you might hear out there and sneak in on a segment of Blues NHL podcast. But we appreciate you, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
All righty. That is Jamie Rivers. Again, so gracious with his time. I'm sure he was on a little bit longer today than he expected. But interesting article, or not article, I guess it was a question and answer from Jeremy Rutherford. And I know Jamie has an immense amount of respect for Jeremy. It's an interesting thing. And again, I think the key point of the whole thing is, I think people need to remember, when somebody's writing or somebody's talking about something, you know, there's a big difference between talking about it and having an opinion, which we're all entitled to, by the way. I always think that people that are thought highly of in the media have a responsibility, because depending on how you want to look at this, the everyday average fan sometimes takes a media member's word as fact and truth. And sometimes there's a lot of opinion in there based off numerous things. So I think the media, the guys especially that are associated with the teams, they do have a responsibility. So for Jeremy to write some of this stuff, the truth is, and I know from having conversations with Darren and Jamie, and then I do other things with other athletes, it's not the easiest thing to do to be critical of guys. But the one thing is when you got to go in the locker room and face them, there's a little bit of respect there. Versus the guy that writes it from his chair and never steps foot in the locker room, it's real easy to do. So, again, it's not a conspiracy thing, but the reality of it is, if you're wondering how much of this is true, how much of this is fact, how much of this is opinion, the reality of it is Jeremy's going to be in that locker room. So there's something to what he's writing. So, and again, I don't know that too much that he said has is off the beaten path of what's been talked about here on Blues NHL Podcast. Sometimes some of it goes under the radar because, you know, it doesn't do any good to sit here for an hour and just bash, bash, bash. And you can be unhappy, but the reality of it is things get said all the time on here that it kind of surprises me sometimes don't make their way into the forefront of Twitterverse, because I've heard some things come out of here and it's kind of like goes right over people's heads. And, you know, Jamie and Darren sometimes will share some thoughts and insight that they have. And again, sometimes opinion, sometimes fact. But it is an interesting thing to listen to. So, again, we thank Jamie for coming on and sharing that, because, again, I know that you guys really do appreciate the fact that the guy comes on and gives his honest opinion and has some knowledge, especially to back up what he's saying, both current and, you know, obviously given the fact that he's a former player. So it was interesting for sure. Very electric. And, of course, our friends Innovated Electric underneath the InnovatedCompanies.com umbrella bring you the show each and every week. Our good friends Randy and Stephanie Green, we want to thank them so much. And again, you know, the hot stove code, Innovated Heating and Cooling, the hot stove time of year. It's crazy right now. There's a lot of rumors going around, but we do appreciate InnovatedCompanies.com for all their thoughts. You know, amazing too. In that article, and again, we're touching on all the innovative companies right now. The construction of the team is really, you know, that's the only thing we really didn't discuss today. That he's really. In some degree, the fan thing, and maybe we'll touch on this Thursday when Jamie and Darren are back in here, he really is talking a lot about the roster and the way it was constructed. In a nice way, saying it isn't that they aren't talented, it isn't that they don't go out and do this or that, but and you've heard Jamie and Darren say this too. Maybe the roster just needs a change because too many of the same type of player, and we don't have the couple of guys that we need to take it in this direction. And that all comes down to roster construction now. You heard Jeremy write about it in his article, and you've heard Jamie and Darren talk about it. It's not that easy to just, you know, start cutting guys and trading guys. You got salary cap, you got financial commitments, you got no trade clause, you got all these things that go into it, right? And just because you want a player doesn't mean you can just go get him. Like, that's the biggest fallacy in all of this is that, you know, I mean, I see it with the Cardinals show all the time. I mean, I had, you know, some guy the other day going, I just don't understand why we didn't sign Hosmer. You know, I think 4 or 5 years would have been perfect. And it's like, but he signed for 8. What do you mean 4 or 5 years? The guy didn't, you know, you can want something all day long. You know, the Blues can want Hoffman. They can want Pat Maroon. They could want Tavares or Rick Nash, whoever these guys are. They can want them, but do they want to pay the price to get them? And that always comes down to, on the other side, is how eager are these people really to trade them? A lot of guys put a guy out there, and they're curious what they can get back, and they just leave him out there wondering if people are going to keep up in the ante, and in the end, their thought process the whole time was, well, yeah, I'll trade him, but I'm going to trade him if I can basically rape somebody, which happens all the time. So there's a lot that goes into this. The number one thing you always hear from the people inside and in the know is you got to have, and you hear GM say this all the time, you got to have 2 willing dance partners. So it's got to be a good fit on both sides. And then the Blues, what they're hoping right now is to probably take advantage of an organization that has a player under contract, makes a little bit of money, and they're ready to move on and start with another movement. They're probably looking a couple years down the road and say, when we're ready to start competing, we probably won't be able to afford this guy, or hell, for that matter, he might even be past his prime. Whatever. That's what it's going to take probably for the Blues to make a deal, just in my opinion. And, of course, the closer we get, we're going to hear more and more from Jamie on this, and we all know that, you know, he runs around in the right circle to have an educated opinion at least about which way the Blues may or may not go. So, again, thank you so much, of course, to Jamie, all the innovative companies at innovativecompanies.com, synergyhockeyskills.com, and, of course, nelsonlandservices.com as well. Okay, time now to go to our segments. Again, everybody loves Dennis Minner and everything he does for the show. I want to take a moment to welcome Dennis's newest project. Now, listen, let me tell you something about Dennis, okay? There's one thing he's never going to get accused of, okay? Let's just be honest here. This guy is extremely passionate, right? I mean, Dennis is a passionate dude, right? So it only stands a reason that he would go out and partner up with a just tremendous tremendous barbecue place that is trying to do some great things for great people, passionate about what they do when it comes to barbecue, but also passionate about helping people. We want to welcome to our program Adam Smokehouse as the official sponsor of the Minner Arena, the Minner Arena segment, live from Minner Arena, of course, with Dennis Minner. What we'd like you to do right now, though, is check them out, Adam Smokehouse. You can follow them on Twitter, at Adam Smokehouse. They got a great event coming up on March 3rd. Catch a dream day at Adam Smokehouse. You can buy raffle tickets that are $10. They got a really nice package that you can win. So many, you know, you've heard so many people that check out some of this great stuff when it comes to barbecue. You know, Adam Wainwright, obviously, in St. Louis is a big barbecue guy. Loves Adam Smokehouse. You guys can check it out for yourself. But again, it's tremendous barbecue. They're great people. They're doing so much for the community. You can learn more about it, obviously, at Minner Arena on his Twitter account. But what we're asking you, just go to at Adam Smokehouse. You can follow them and learn more about it. Let's hear from Dennis Minner now with live from Minner Arena.
Hey, guys, appreciate it. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. Follow me on Twitter at Minner Arena. And we are now, I can announce, we are officially brought to you by Adam's Smokehouse on 2819 Watson Road, best barbecue in the city. Let me tell you real quick, they are doing an absolute amazing fundraiser, $10 raffle tickets for an incredible organization called Catch a Dream. This $10 raffle ticket gives you a chance for two nights at the absolute beautiful Clifton Heights Inn. And are you ready for this? A watch party for you and four guests in the amazing Minner Arena. So $10 raffle tickets. They're doing those until March 3rd. Check me out on Twitter. Also, check out at Adam's Smokehouse on Twitter, and you'll see information on how to get those tickets. So here we are. We're back. Three losses in a row. We have now slipped down. We are now hanging on in the wild card race. Let's see. We blamed Oshie for a while. Then we blamed our team for not having enough speed, so we got rid of pretty much all the leadership on our team. Then we started blaming Hitch. Who's next? I think it boils down to we have absolutely no true leaders on this team. Now, when I say leaders, I mean someone like Backus, someone like Ott, that was willing to kick other players in the balls and tell them to suck it up, to get out there and give their heart. Guys like that you saw give their heart every minute of every single game. I was tweeting today with Mike Coligio, I think is how you pronounce it, C-O-L-A-G-E-O. Anyway, he's the Bruins writer for the Standard Times in Massachusetts. And I asked him what their thought was on Backus and his role on the Bruins. And I was kind of fascinated by what he said. He said, Backus has been great for the Bruins locker room all along, and this year especially on the ice too. Plays the game so honestly, I'm afraid he'll take a bad hit because he stays in there and accept what's coming. I don't think we have anyone on the Blues that's really playing up to that level right now, other than Shin. We saw Shin drop the gloves the other day, and I'm not going to say no one, but we don't see it carrying over to the other players. I don't know what's going on in the Blues locker room, but I'm sure a lot of you have at least heard about J.R. Rutherford's article that he just put out there. And I tell you what, now that he's not with St. Louis Post, man, and he lets it rip now. And I'm really, really liking what he's doing. But it sounds like, hands down, there's some serious issues going on in the Blues locker room. And I'm not really surprised to hear that it sounds like a lot of it's going on with Tarasenko. It sounds like a lot of the players are upset that he's not giving it his all. Today I heard him on the Fast Lane, J.R. Rutherford talking, and he was talking about how in the Washington game that Tarasenko went off to the bench and just left the team hanging, and, you know, the Capitals scored, and no apology. Tarasenko just sat there and didn't say anything. And I think the issue is it doesn't seem like anyone is stepping up and taking that control. You know, right now, man, I was really, really hoping. I was stuck to Twitter today. My neck hurts. I was looking at Twitter so much, and I kept watching to see what's going to happen with this trade deadline. We've got 6 more days, and there are so many rumors flying around out there. I really, really hope next Monday that I'm talking about some major moves, not just in the NHL, but I hope we're talking about major moves here with the St. Louis Blues. I think they're going to have to do some Armstrong. I know he probably didn't listen to this, but my gosh, get your butt up, start making some moves, do what you have to. Let's shake this team up. If we have to have no playoffs this season, I'm okay with that as long as we can start out next season with a solid team. You know, if we can get Pacioretty, even Evander Kane at this point, but Hoffman, Maroon, we've got to do what we can. And I really, really hope that that's going to happen. I know there's no question Armstrong's trying to make those moves going on right now. I think next week when we talk, I've got just a hunch that I'm going to be talking about how Sobotka and Fabry are no longer on the team. I'm really curious to see if they're able to move a few others. So we're going to have a lot more to talk about, I hope, next week. But, hey, don't forget, this is Dennis Minner live from Minner Arena, officially brought to you by Adam Smokehouse. Do not forget to go check Adam Smokehouse on Twitter. Look at that raffle for that awesome watch party we're going to have in Minner Arena. And they're also going to be supplying food for that. And again, that's going for Catch a Dream, just an amazing organization. So go check out Adam Smokehouse at 2819 Watson. And guys, that's it for this week. Let's go Blues!
Great stuff as always from my good friend Dennis. And again, guys, we're really, really going to ask you to make sure you check out Adam Smokehouse. And again, their willingness to jump on and bring you the Live from Inner Arena segment. And again, right now, instead of us just hawking them and their great barbecue, what they're really concerned about is that you check them out for the March 3rd Catch a Dream Day at Adam Smokehouse. Just a great cause, doing wonderful things. All the proceeds to the Catch a Dream Foundation. They provide once-in-a-lifetime dream hunting and fishing trips to children who suffer from life-threatening illnesses. So, again, that's Adam Smokehouse. Welcome to the show, guys. Can't wait for me and the guys to get over there and taste some of that tremendous barbecue. Okay, time for another segment. And, again, everybody appreciates this one as well. Brad Lee does such a great job with the St. Louis Game Time magazine, RAG, as we affectionately call it. You can't go to a Blues game without stopping by and seeing your vendor out in front of Scott Trade, picking up your St. Louis Game Time, reading some of the insightful articles. They give you that fan's point of view and, again, things that make you really think and things that you may or may not agree with. But it's great topic, great discussion, very well done, very passionately done. Let's hear what Brad Lee has for us this week on his St. Louis Game Time report.
Hi, this is Brad Lee with the Game Time section of the podcast. You can find us at stlouisgametime.com on Twitter, Facebook, all over the place. And most importantly, the fan-run paper that we sell outside every Blues home game. Outside the 14th Street doors, the northeast corner of 14th and Clark, just outside the City Hall lot. And outside the garage, the Keel Garage. They never change the name. It's outside the Keel Garage driveway. I'm recording this Monday night, so we're getting ready for Blues and Sharks on Tuesday. Then Winnipeg's in town. And then there's a little bit of a road trip, I think. So, the Blues have not won for a couple of games. You know, even if you include a point from Nashville last week, as a non-loss, it's a loss. I mean, they left the ice pretty demoralized. They've lost 3 in a row. Jake Allen has started 3 of the last 4, and he only has 1 win in that time span. So that's not exactly promising. So we'll see who's in goal for the next 2 home games. I kind of think they might split it. One game might be Allen, one game might be Hutton. I hope Hutton gets at least one of those games. Let's talk a little bit about what's on everyone's mind. Between now and next Monday, the next podcast date that I can contribute to, it's going to be the trade deadline. And, you know, there are some reports heating up. Some of them are complete fiction. You know, the Hockey Buzz guy says Jaden Schwartz might be dangled to Buffalo. No, he's not. There's no way. Then there's reports from Lou Korak, who writes for NHL.com and follows the Blues around, who said that the Blues were offering Sobotka and Berglund and maybe a pick or who knows what for Mike Hoffman and or Derek Brassard to the Ottawa Senators. Yeah, one or both of those guys would be interesting. They could be helpful. Hoffman, I think, is a useful guy. He's never scored 30 goals in a season. 29, but you know, he hasn't hit 30. He's never hit 60 points in a season. So there are some people on Twitter who are willing to give up one of the big prospects, Robert Thomas or Jordan Kyrou, plus Berglund, plus Saboka, plus a draft pick for Mike Hoffman. I get it. You want a guy who can score. You want a guy who can play on the first line or second line, maybe a left winger to pair with Tarasenko and whoever is playing center, Steen or Shen or who knows who. I get it. But, man, you got to watch how much they overpay. And I'll go back to what I said at the very beginning of the season. This is still a stepping stone. They have Paul Stastny's contract comes off the books this summer. That's $7 million. If you buy out Jay Bomeister, that's almost $3 million. So you're looking at 10 right there. Maybe they trade Carl Gunnarsson. Who knows? Carl, top pairing Gunnarsson. I know he's valuable right now. They're a little banged up on defense. It would be probably dangerous to trade him at this point because of the injuries on the left side. Okay, I get it. But, you know, he's got $3 million of cap hit sitting there. If they could find, you know, and he's got value. So maybe they find someone in the summer after Joel Edmondson's healthy and you kind of know what you get. And you could have $12, $13, $14 million of cap space this summer. I'm not saying they sign John Tavares, but, you know, maybe they can make some trades. Maybe they can work something out, or maybe they save it for the deadline next year. What Doug Armstrong has pretty much said is he doesn't think that they're a player or two away. I think he told Jose De Ortiz from the Post-Dispatch over the weekend. So the Post is reporting that Armstrong says, yeah, we're not even two players away. That's fine, but you could still trade for guys that have term on their contracts, like a Mike Hoffman who is under contract for, I think, at least one more year, if not two more years. I think Derek Brassard is a free agent or has one more year. So, you know, maybe you look at guys like that. You know, it's a shame that the Knights are doing so well. James Neal would have been a perfect fit in this team. And I'll lament that until the Knights win the Stanley Cup this summer. Oh, can you imagine a team in the first year of existence winning the Stanley Cup? And we're here in St. Louis looking at 50, 51, 52, 50. Who knows how many years waiting for that first silver shiny thing. And the Knights are leading everybody in points. And they're in the Western Conference. And they're challenging Tampa for the President's Trophy. And it's too depressing to think about. So, you know, who knows how they'll perform in the playoffs, but I'm worried. I don't know. You know, talking about the playoffs, the standings right now, the Blues are making it more difficult on themselves. First, the schedule that they had to contend with, where they played more games than everyone, and everyone behind them had games in hand, which are only important if the teams that have the games in hand win those games. So when you go into Nashville with a 3-0 lead in the third period, and you choke that away and give them a win in overtime on a stupid penalty shot, oh my God, it's unacceptable. You can't lose that game. You can't go into Dallas and watch Dallas throttle back their offense. I know that they held them to a minuscule number of shots. I know that they limited Dallas's chances to some degree, but mostly that was on Dallas. They were not taking chances. They were not pressing on offense. They were happy to get a lead, and a 2-1 lead is a Ken Hitchcock lead, and they played like a Ken Hitchcock team, and they did not challenge offensively after they got that lead. So, you know, even if you're looking for silver linings from recent games, don't point to that one, because the defense wasn't stymieing. It wasn't a chokehold on the Stars. The Stars fell back and turtled and were lucky to hold on to get the win. Last thing, and this is happening at the end of the Dallas Stars game, but, you know, Braden Schenn, they're down. He scored a power play goal with not a lot of time left, I think just about a minute left. He's showing some fight. He's showing some determination. It took them until the last minute of the game to have a scrum and to really kind of get in the Stars' faces. And then Braden Schenn gets in a fight as time expires. They don't need him to do that. There are other guys on this team who should be doing that, who we hope would do that, and it hasn't happened. And I don't know if this story by Jeremy Rutherford in The Athletic that everyone's talking about that says that he doesn't think that the Blues are playing for each other and that they're only playing for a paycheck, or they're only playing together because they're on the same team. And it's not because they are a team and that they have that cohesiveness, that chemistry, that je ne sais quoi of being a team. They're not playing for each other. They're just playing to play and playing for the money and the lifestyle. I get that. And you see a game like Dallas that's close fought and there really isn't physical pushback by the Blues until very, very late in the game. Where was it? I know Darren Kimball has said that the Blues miss Ryan Reeves. I get that. And maybe it's true. Maybe he was more of the heart and soul of this team. Maybe he gave them the pushback and the inspiration to push back. And when you got a guy like Chris Thorber, maybe that's not his thing. Maybe guys like Scotty Upshaw and Alexander Steen and a couple other guys in the scene, Patrick Berglund especially, Dmitry Lohner-Yaskin, it's not their personality to get in the other team's face and push back. But, man, the Blues need more fight, and they need less fights from Braden Schenn. Because that guy is too important to break his hand on a helmet or cut his hand on a visor and miss some time. Oh, my God. Can you imagine what this team would be like right now if they didn't have Braden Schenn, if he missed any significant time because of a stupid, stupid injury because he's standing up for teammates who don't stand up for him at the end of the game? Okay. I promise to calm down. The Sharks are beatable. Joe Thornton's out. The Blues handled Winnipeg at Winnipeg last time. I think the Jets are going to be looking for revenge. I don't think if the Blues even rattle off some wins here in a row, I don't have a strong feeling that they're going to be aggressive in adding guys who can win this year. That's fine. Doug Armstrong, if you're listening to the podcast, maybe you're on the bike, you're on the treadmill, you're driving into work, and you're listening to the podcast, awesome. Buddy, build for next year. Maybe a young guy or two will show up after juniors and be ready next year. Maybe Tage Thompson is going to put on some muscle. Maybe Ivan Barbashev is going to return to form. Maybe somebody wants to take a bunch of salary cap dollars and come here this summer. Next year, that window opens back up. Start retooling for then, and we'll see what happens. Hey, thanks for listening. Like I said, I'm Brad Lee with St. Louis Game Time. StLouisGameTime.com, on Twitter, on Facebook, the Fan Run Paper. Now a 23-year fan tradition. The end of January was 23 years since the building opened in January of 1995. We have been outside every Blues home game. So, check us out. 24 pages of unique content you can't find anywhere else. I appreciate you listening, and back to you guys.
Great stuff as always. Really appreciate Brad and all the gang over at St. Louis Game Time. Again, they do such a tremendous job. We appreciate it, and we love being associated with those guys. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Blues NHL Podcast. I want to remind everybody to make sure they check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's absolutely free. You can listen to the episodes and, of course, do your shopping at Amazon. It would really help us with our production costs. It doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral. And once you click on that Amazon banner, you're done with us. Find us on our social media sites, at STL Blues Podcast, at NHL Show, or our Twitter handles. Follow us there. Big ask, go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page, click invite your friends, and invite all your friends that are Blues fans. We'd love to have them be a part of the show. Follow us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. Special thanks goes out to all of our social media affiliates, guys and gals that have really helped the show grow leaps and bounds. I want to throw a big shout out to friend of the show, Mick Light, and everything he does for us from Arch City Sports. The show has had tremendous growth since Mick got behind it and started sharing the show through his wonderful Facebook page. He does such a great job covering sports here in the St. Louis area and whether it's amateur, pro, whatever it is. St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, of course, been with us for a long time. St. Louis Blues Fans Unite and our newest member, Everything STL Sports. Happy to have you guys a part. Special thanks again to innovatedcompanies.com. Make sure you check out our friends over there. They do a great job. 35-plus years experience, second-generation craftsman. His words is bond, folks. Make sure you check them out, innovatedcompanies.com. Don't forget Tommy Brown, tax resolution specialist. It's that time of year, folks. You're going to want our co-host, Coach Brown, on your side when it comes to making sure you're doing things right when it comes to your taxes. Don't take any chances there, folks. SynergyHockeySkills.com, NelsonLandServices.com. Happy to have all those people on board and members of our show. Jamie Rivers, thank you so much for everything you do for the show. Darren Kimball, we'll see you on Thursday. For all of our Blues fans out there, let's get a win tonight. I leave you with a Let's Go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.